Now, Wisconsin's young voter turnout led the nation in last November's midterm elections. New data from the U.S. Census Bureau shows that nearly half of Wisconsin voters aged 18 to 24 cast a ballot. Some recent statewide elections have been decided by less than 30,000 votes, so that youth demographic has the potential to swing results one way or another. But what caused Wisconsin's massive youth turnout in November? What, if anything, are we doing differently than other states? Our guest today will help break it down for us. Amanjot Kaur is a freshman at UW-Madison. She's a co-lead intern with the Badgers Vote Initiative through the Morgridge Center for Public Service and an intern with the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin. I talked to her earlier today. Amanjot, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me here.
Well, we've got this data showing Wisconsin youth voter turnout a high in November for sure. It looks like it was pretty high in April as well. Does that match up with what you saw in person on the UW-Madison campus?
Yes, we have had a surprising turnout, both in the midterms and also in our April 4th election, the general in the spring. We were just talking about this a few days ago. One of the co-directors of the Badgers Vote Coalition was sending us all of this data about how we had like 80% plus turnout during the midterm elections, which is very like historic for our campus. Usually we get somewhere closer to 75, 76. So we saw a bump from what we're used to, which was really amazing.
What is it, do you think, that's getting college students to turn out over this last couple of elections?
I think part of it is that we have, on this campus at least, made voting a lot easier for students, a lot more accessible. A lot more students are more knowledgeable on how the process of voting actually goes, like when to register and what IDs to bring. And also more people are becoming more and more aware of what's on the ballot, who their candidates are, what the issues are that people are passionate about. I think there have been a lot of important issues over the last few years that have really been bringing people out. I know in April 4th, for example, the Wisconsin Supreme Court election was really, really invigorating for students. And it got a lot of students to turn out because they were very passionate, regardless of which side they were on about a lot of issues like redistricting and abortion and the like that were going to be impacted by the Supreme Court. And I think in the fall, a lot of the turnout and excitement around the midterms was a lot of young people who are finally now able to vote, getting to vote in this really large election for these really large seats that have a lot of impact on their lives.
Now, it's been a day or two since I was college age, but back then there were initiatives to get younger people to vote, rock the vote and things like that. They didn't seem to work very well. Is there something you think about the current generation of new voters that is looking at the world differently than maybe the past couple generations?
That's an interesting question because I think a lot of our generation is very politically mobilized in a way that I'm not sure other generations or previous generation necessarily was. I think there's been so much happening in the United States politically and that people are very excited by what's going on and they have a lot of thoughts and opinions. And young people in particular have grown up through a lot of very turbulent things in the United States, like the recession in 2008 and the presidencies that have occurred during our lifetimes and like the COVID pandemic and everything that's followed COVID. I think that a lot of us are very aware of all of these different issues going on because we've kind of lived through the turbulence and that's mobilized students in a way that maybe didn't exist for previous generations. I also think that a large difference for us is social media and the internet. I know in particular for Badgers Vote, this has been a really important tool, is that we have seen the most voter education effort success when we use social media and the internet. We get tens of thousands of views on some of our election videos, which is just shocking. And a lot of students learn about what is going on in their local areas, in their local elections, through our social media, through our Instagram, through our reels and our video postings and our collaborations with other social media people like Charlie Behrens, for example. A lot of those social media, like internet efforts, seem to really target students and younger generations well, because that's kind of what they're all on. They're all on their phones. So like having the ability to put that information where people are always putting their eyes towards makes it a lot easier to grab someone's attention and get them to care about voting and learn more about voting processes.
Now, if someone else is out there, either on another campus or in a community where they want to get younger people to vote, college students or non-college students, based on your experience with these elections over the last year or so, what would you suggest to them as starting points?
I think there are three things I would suggest. The first would be to make sure that the students and the young people in their area are educated on the voting process. I think a lot of people are intimidated as first-time voters. There's all these different steps you have to navigate. And I think voter education and civic education is a really large part of getting people to turn out to vote, helping them know when to register, helping them know what their voter ID is if you live in a state where voter IDs are a thing. Like in Wisconsin, for example, we have at UW-Madison campus a lot of out-of-state students that aren't used to their state offering same-day voter registration. So that's one of the things that we tell people and help them navigate is how to register the day of the election. And voter IDs are also a thing that a lot of students aren't used to. So helping them navigate what is and is not a voter ID has also been a large part of our efforts to get people to vote. So voter education would probably be the first thing. The other thing that I would promote, or like the second thing, would probably be to listen and learn what it is that young people are passionate about. I've heard all sorts of issues throughout the year, and I think that learning what the candidates have to say on issues that young people really care about can really help them to understand why they should participate in an election. One of our other Badgers Vote interns, she went to a bunch of fraternities and sororities once to get students registered to vote. And she was talking about local elections, like the mayor and alderperson. And they were asking why they should care about older people. And she told them that they should care about older people because older people control their liquor licenses for all of the local bars and places that sell alcohol. So that got them mobilized to want to vote for older people. Knowing, I guess, the audience you're speaking to and what they care about can help get them more interested in why voting and elections matter.
Amanjot, we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much for inviting me to do this and for talking about these issues. I think they're super important.
Amanjot Kaur is co-lead intern with the Badgers Vote Initiative at UW-Madison and an intern with the League of Women Voters. She was with us today to share her experience as a UW-Madison student helping organize youth voting on campus. Wisconsin wasn't the only place that's seen a rise in youth voting in recent elections. The trend carried through in many states around the country, leading political organizers on all points of the spectrum to focus their efforts more specifically on the newest generation of voters. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you make of this record youth voter turnout? Did it surprise you? Why or why not? And are we talking about you? Are you one of the younger people who voted, maybe for the first time in November or April here in Wisconsin? Let us know what led you to the polls at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Abby Kisa is the Deputy Director of the Center for Information and Research on Civic Learning and Engagement at Tufts University in Massachusetts. She researches youth civic and political engagement. Abby, welcome to Central Time.
Hello. Thank you so much.
How widespread are you seeing this increase of youth voter turnout in our recent elections?
Youth turnout has been historically high in recent elections. In the 2018 election, we saw young people vote at the highest rate in a midterm election since the early 70s, since the voting age was lowered. And it doubled compared to the 2014 election. And then in the 2020 presidential election, youth voter turnout jumped 10 points. And that really shows that young people are interested and will participate when they're given pathways to engagement. But there's still a lot of work to do to broaden the electorate. And one of the things that I think is really clear from this data is that young people's voter turnout is not a matter of apathy. It's a matter of access and opportunity. And so we really have to ask, are communities and institutions equitably preparing and engaging all young people to vote? And when you look across different states, we see huge differences. The census data that you were just talking about shows just dramatic differences between states, over 20-point differences. And so as we continue to talk about this, we really have to think about it on a more local level and trying to understand what are the access and supports that young people have.
One thing I wonder about when it comes to different levels, how about young college students versus young non-college students? Do we see a gap there when it comes to turnout?
You know, this is one of the things that the census data allows us to do is go back and look at trends over time, over the last 50 years. And this difference in education the relationship between education and voter turnout is something that has sustained across all of those decades for which we have this census data for 18 to 29 year olds. And one of the things that we think it comes down to is that young people who have experiences with higher education institutions are exposed to things like the Badgers Vote Coalition that the student was, Amanjot was just talking about. And they're exposed to people who are really actively involved in politics in some way and learning some of the skills that really lend themselves to participating. And so that matters a great deal. And one of the things that we've seen over time is that young people who are not on college campuses get a lot less support and a lot less attention, for example, from political campaigns, right? Political campaigns often just go to college campuses. And so this is one of the areas where communities have a lot to do to be more inclusive in how we think about elections.
Yeah, let's imagine a town or city without a big college campus on it. Do you have thoughts on what a community could do to say, hey, we've got a lot of young voters here. We'd love to see them participate. How do they open that door?
Absolutely. This is a great question. And I think it starts with young people in that community. And this is one of the core parts of what we call a sort of circle growing voters approach. Not only is it rooted in understanding and working with young people in a community, but it starts well before a young person reaches 18. Because by a young person reaching 18 years old, there's plenty of opportunity for that young person to develop, you know, a sense of the sense that politics isn't for them or that they're not welcome in it. And so by starting to reach young people before they reach 18, not only are we reaching them, you know, when many are still in the K-12 K-12 school districts, but we're also reaching young people at a moment when they're building their sense for who they, you know, continuing to build their sense for who they are. And that's really when civic habits are forming. Because voting is a habit. We call it a civic habit. And once a young person starts to vote, the more likely that they are to continue to vote. So two really core things about for a community is understanding that we have to start these conversations with young people before they reach 18. We have to include young people and a wide range of young people, not just the young people who are opting into the, you know, high school Republicans and high school Democrats. And we have to recognize that it might take a lot, many stakeholders to make sure that there aren't young people falling through the cracks. And what I mean by that is we have to have multiple pathways for young people to find out about how to participate in elections. And, you know, like Amanjot was just talking about, they were talking to sororities and fraternities as well as on social media. They had multiple strategies that they were using. And that's the same for an entire community. We need to be, you know, talking about this in schools. We need political campaigns to be thinking about it. Our election administrators have to be thinking about the wide diversity of young people. And there's lots that parents and families can do as well, just to talk about these issues and build the awareness about how to vote and that an election is coming.
Talking to Abby Kisa, civic engagement researcher at Tufts University, looking at a boost in youth voter turnout, young voter turnout in last November's elections here in Wisconsin. According to new census data, Wisconsin number one in the country. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions about youth voting trends? What do you think is driving younger people to the polls? If we're talking about you, we would love to hear from you. Join in at 800-642-1234. 1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation with Abby Kisa, civic learning and engagement researcher at Tufts University, looking at Wisconsin's strong youth voter turnout last November. According to new census numbers, looks like it was high in April as well in the Supreme Court election. Looking at what we can expect from young voters in future elections, too, you can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. There's a perception, anyway, that younger voters tend to vote for Democrats in elections. Former Wisconsin Governor Republican Scott Walker is now president of the conservative youth organization Young America's Foundation. He did an interview with Fox News right after our April midterm elections about the impact of youth voters and the need, he says, for conservatives to do better.
We don't yet know the numbers by age, but we do know that Dane County, which is where the University of Wisconsin's flagship campus is at, about 50,000 students are enrolled there. Dane County cast more ballots in the race for the Supreme Court than the largest county in the state, Milwaukee County. And in Dane County, 82% of those votes went for the radical. And so unless we turn young people around, and it's not as simple as one campaign ad or some sort of a coalition, this is years of liberal indoctrination coming home to roost, and we've got to turn it around if we're going to win again.
Can you talk about the partisan lean, Abby, on youth voting? And it gets controversial how youth vote outreach happens, too.
Yeah, thanks for this question, Rob. I mean, one of the things that we really need to differentiate between is what happens nationally and what happens in various states and communities. Because, you know, while it is a national trend that young people are favoring Democrats and more liberal candidates, this isn't the case everywhere, and it hasn't always been this way. So one of the things that we've seen, for example, is that in the 2016 election and the 2020 elections, there's actually a handful of states, 6 or 7 states, where then candidate and also President Trump won young voters in a handful of states. And so, you know, we really need to bring more nuance to these conversations about young people, or we do them a disservice by just sort of stereotyping them. And this, you know, matters for how political campaigns think about young people, because if you're in a community and thinking about young people, then have conversations with those young people instead of stereotyping them and assuming what they think. And so this is just exemplary, I think, of the need for campaigns to spend more time listening to and speaking with young people. And we've seen in our data that that can have a strong correlation to young people actually turning out when political campaigns are actually speaking with them and reaching out to them. Unfortunately, we've certainly seen Republican candidates and the Republican Party do that less with younger voters recently than the Democratic Party. And so that is one thing that, you know, has been consistent over the past several cycles.
Let's bring in a caller now. Kay is with us in Madison. Kay, hello.
Yes, hi. Thanks so much for this topic. I've been kind of working on it for 30 years. I'm a UW Poli-Sci graduate, and on the information issue, I'm concerned about the lack of education on government in our schools. The last statistics, which is fairly recent, I know 19 states have no civics courses. I quote a 2005 poll that I did in one of my works that more students could quote the names of the Three Stooges than our three branches of government. The neo-Confederates have finally won about 5 years ago. They convinced a national poll that slavery had nothing to do with the war. So obviously there's the false information and populist information versus our educational system, and which I see, I understand perfectly about the local need for young people, but to my mind, our education systems are not doing enough.
Okay, thanks a lot for the call. Abby, your thoughts on civic and government education and Kay's concerns about misinformation as well.
Thank you so much for this question, Kay. This is an absolutely important area for us to think about. And I think it has a very local lens as well. Because one of the things that we've seen in our work is that, you know, in addition to the fact that opportunities to talk about elections and voting in a school context in nonpartisan ways, they're distributed really unequally amongst young people. So young people in AP classes are much more likely to have that opportunity, but young people who are on the, you know, kind of the regular track are less likely to. And young people who are on a different track than that are even less likely to. And so that's one of the things that I think we need to be talking about is how can we make sure that all young people in K-12 have the opportunity to talk about and learn about some of these basic workings of democracy. And for us, one of the things that we have been a part of, it's called the Educating for American Democracy Initiative, has really been focusing on some of the ways in which schools can support teachers and that teachers can really be a leader in these efforts locally. Because one of the things that we've seen is that teachers who have support are much more likely to use the research-based promising practices for teaching civic education, right? And we want teachers to embrace those research-based practices. And so this is a really big thing that communities can do to come and rally support for teachers to be able to do this work. So Kay really brings up an important point, and we need to think about equity and distribution of young people's exposure to this, as well as what can be done to support teachers and schools to be able to do this work.
Okay, thanks for that call. And Abby, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Abby Kisa, Deputy Director of the Center for Information and Research on Civic Learning and Engagement at Tufts University, where she researches youth civic and political engagement. She is with us today to talk about rising youth voter turnout in Wisconsin in particular and beyond. Earlier, we heard from UW-Madison freshman Amanjot Kaur about her work as an intern with the Badgers Vote Initiative and the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin. Still time for you to share your thoughts on this big uptick in young people voting here in Wisconsin, especially Wisconsin, but elsewhere in the country. You can email ideas@WPR.org. That's ideas@WPR.org. If you are a younger voter yourself, love to hear from you about what your first voting experience was like, what got you to the polls.